down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us on Let's Face the Issues today. I think it's a very important issue that we're speaking on today. And I think it's important because so many Christians, conservatives, patriots, pastors, and churches feel that somehow, some way, we need to simply be silent. Say nothing. I spoke earlier by way of a preliminary introduction of the earlier portion of a monologue on the broadcast today about a book that I'd been reading. The writer I'm not going to call the name of, the book I will not name because I do not want to promote the book at all, but that particular writer, which his claim to fame is the fact he's written 400 songs in the past 28 years, no theological, biblical, college, Bible college background, no pastoral background, but he says that the church needs to submit to the government, surrender, be silent. We're not supposed to do anything to stand against it. He goes on to say that our founding fathers were all deists and were not Christians. And ladies and gentlemen, I find that kind of offensive, if you will. I'm looking at a major article about our founding fathers. One of them said, by John Adams says, "It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can be securely secured and stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue." John Adams then further says, "If thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, were not commandments of heaven, then they must be made inviolable precepts in every society. Before it can be civilized on or man are made free." John Adams. Further, John Quincy Adams said this: "There are 3 points of doctrine that belief on which form the foundation of all morality. The first is the existence of God. The second is the immortality of human soul. And the third is the future state of rewards and punishments. Suppose it possible for a man to disbelieve either of these 3 articles of faith, and that man will have no conscience. He will have no other law than that of the tiger or the shark. The laws of man may bind him in chains or put him to death, but they can never make him wise, virtuous, or happy." John Quincy Adams, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes of those statements. We find they come from Christian men that are the founders of our great nation. And our nation is not a mistake. It is not something that's heretical, as that particular writer called it. We're finding more and more of the false teachers putting into print their ideas that's undermining and further eroding and tearing down to destroy our nation. We need to stand and fight. Here's an article that says, "Dr. Carol Swain shares the truth and hope that Americans need to fight back." The author expose, top author expose, and in her exposition shows the deep roots in academia, including Harvard's defense of plagiarism and Marxist ideology undermining our educational system. Dr. Carol Swain's story is proof that America American dream is real, but it's under attack. In her latest book, The Gay Affair, she exposed the deep rot in academia, including Harvard's defense of plagiarism and the Marxist ideologies that's undermining our entire educational system. If we don't fight back, we will lose our nation and its future, end quote. Now is the time to stand for truth. Now is the time to demand accountability. Now is the time to take control of our children's education, she says in her book. I'm in agreement with that. And I believe that's what we need to see today. It's time to fight back. It's time to stand up, speak up, and be heard. It's time for churches to stand up and speak and not be silent. It's time for Christians to stand up and speak up. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I pray that you're well.
I was listening to you and Kenny's conversation, and it brought to mind to me that law with men and women and the LBJQ or whoever type of person you are, narcissist or whatever, going to the same bathroom. That's worse than segregation.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
Also, it will cause a lot of mental illness. It can cause whatever go on in that bathroom and you don't say nothing, or we'll get you, it can become a hellhole.
Absolutely. And one of our congresspeople, Representative Nancy Mace, I believe she's from South Carolina, she has taken a stand because even in the Capitol, there is the intrusion and the push to allow men to go into the women's bathrooms. And she has passed resolution that she's now getting chided for, challenged for, demeaned, and her life threatened simply because she says that men cannot go in the women's restrooms. And when she had the legislation introduced about that, you would have thought she had shot the president because she's taken a stand for morals and ethics and values. She said there won't be any males in the women's bathrooms in the Capitol. And as a result of that, the transsexuals, those that are sexually dysphoric, somehow, some way, thinks that we're supposed to embrace their ideology, their philosophy, the immoral, ungodly conduct.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. Taking a stand, like, say, for instance, you or I take a stand, that's a great thing. But if we take a stand that affects our family, should we consult our wife, our family?
Well, number one, we get back to rudimentary, fundamental, elemental truth. There should be no secrets between husband and wife. There should be no movement by the husband, though he's the head of the home and the responsibility responsibility that God holds him responsible for is on his shoulders. There needs to be the communication, the dialogue with the husband and the wife, that there's an understanding that this is what we're doing. We're doing it together. We're doing it as a home. We're doing it as a family, and not where one goes out on the limb and stands on the limb for the limb to be sawed off, and then the other party, the wife or the husband, says, hey, I told you so, et cetera, et cetera. That ought not to be the thing. It should be the fact that the two become one flesh, according to the Genesis text, when a husband and wife are married. That ought to be the stand. So therefore, there wouldn't be any possibility of that. Yes, there's the possibility that a stand could be made. There would be the repercussions and the threats, et cetera, et cetera. I've seen those in 60-plus years in ministry. I've seen those threats, those anger, hostile responses as a result of taking a stand. I'll never forget in 1991, we took a stand with the city council locally because up until 91, there was not liquor sold by the drink at the restaurants in our city. That was a resolution that was being introduced for a new law in the city, and I took a stand before the city council. Challenged the city council members. I was called a Bible thumper. The headline news in the local newspaper, I was called a Bible thumper. I had to challenge that and say, basically, you're going to give me an opportunity to confront what you've said and what you've called me as the Bible thumper, or I'm going to file suit and sue your pants off. The newspaper said, do the article. I had the privilege of doing an entire front page article for the local newspaper to challenge what they had said, calling me a Bible thumper, with the truth and the evidence and the facts showing that alcoholic beverages destroys families, destroys lives, and cause cities more and more tax money to help those that have become drunkards and homeless, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, there are some repercussions, but there's no place in the scripture says that standing for God and for godliness, for morals and ethics and values, will be without repercussion from others. We need to take that stand. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, I have fought a good fight. This is the reason Peter said we ought to obey God and not government. This is the reason you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refusing to bow when the King Nebuchadnezzar said, bow when you hear the music playing, bow to the false god. And I could go throughout the scripture pointing out to you time and time again where God-fearers and Christian men would take a stand for morals and ethics and values, even knowing that it might have repercussions from, as we call it today, the left. So absolutely, I think that that is the position we need to take. And Bob, it's not an easy life. Christian life is easy, not easy. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminded us in the Timothy text that all who follow the Lord Jesus Christ will face persecution in our lives. We need to recognize that's part of it. This is the reason I think, Bob, so many people today as Christians decide, hey, I'm going to be silent. I'm not going to face the battle. I'm not going to be the tip of the spear. I'm going to simply let the morals and ethics and values of a ungodly world cave in on me. This is the reason parents will sit back and let their child be taught garbage and sexualized and weaponized and brainwashed in our public school system because they're unwilling to take a stand. But Bob, it deserves our prayer, deserves our vigilance, and stop being silent. Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today, stand up, speak up, resist the enemy. What are your thoughts? Should we stand up, speak up, and face the enemy? I'm looking at a headline. Mayor declares Paterson, New Jersey, the capital of Palestine in America. The mayor of Paterson, New Jersey, declared the city to be the capital of Palestine in the U.S. and a ceremony making the beginning at the beginning of Ramadan. Goes on to talk about the mayor stated that the city was one of the four holiest in the world. Listen, a mayor declaring that his city is the one of the four holiest cities in the world after Jerusalem, Mecca, and Medina. The mayor referred to Paterson, New Jersey as the Mecca of New Jersey. Goes on to say the Muslim presidency is evidence through its many Palestinian flags and signs in Arabic. And the article goes on to talk about cities and streets in that city being named by Arabic names that you can't even, the citizen can't read. We need to take a stand against those elements or we will lose our nation if we do not take the stand. That's the challenge today, that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, don't bow, don't bend, and according to Daniel 3, we won't burn. And I believe that's a good challenge today. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I was just going to thank you for what you do, but the last statement you made about the mayor of Paterson, New Jersey, he says that they're the most holy. You know, I used to work and I'd go out to the landfill, and when those trucks in August back up and dump that garbage out, the stench is overwhelming. That's like that mayor is like saying, I've got the cleanest garbage truck there is. It doesn't stink so bad. But Dr. Youngblood, really what I call two things is, one is, you know, I look at what the Democrats are hollering and screaming, and the only thing is what goes around comes around. The same filth and spew that they've put out is now affecting them. That they're being affected by what they've done for decades. And it's really pleasurable to watch.
It is. It is, and I'm thankful for it. We're watching the wheels of justice, as it would be called, turning, and for good. But that's the whole point. We're witnessing and watching today what Trump is doing, which is good and godly, and I believe is best for America. And he's doing so because, as he said, God save my life that I might save America and stand up for America. And I believe he's doing that from the right heart, the right motive. But we have those governors, those city mayors, et cetera, that somehow, some way thinking that they do not have to bend, do not have to submit, because it's Trump. It's the Trump syndrome, derangement syndrome, that I believe so many still have, and I am concerned about it. But by the way, Tom, let me touch on this before we let you go. I'm looking at an article. It says, watch as all blankety blank breaks loose when congressman calls fake woman lawmaker mister. I don't know if you watched that or not. The article says, that's how a congressional meeting Tuesday is being described after U.S. representative introduced a fellow member of Congress who is transgender by his original gender. Quote, I now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride, and Representative Keith Self, Republican from Texas. Thank you, Madam Chair, was the snarky response from Representative Sarah McBride, who was born Tim McBride. That's when U.S. Representative Bill Keating, Democrat of Massachusetts, interrupted Chairman Self and said, would you repeat that, what you just said, when you introduced the duly elected representative from the United States of America? Please, I will, he replied. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride. And everything just broke down, and the opposition to that introduction, here's a transgender person that wants to be a woman, that's a man, was introduced as Mr. McBride, and everything then just broke loose, and the other side demanded that we will not have this hearing if that is what you're going to do. And so the chairman of the committee gaveled the committee and said, the committee's closed, we'll have another meeting later. It's where somebody has the, if you please, the backbone, the spine, the guts to stand and to speak and to say what's right. And that's what that representative did. He wasn't going to bend and say to Ms. or Mrs. or Madam or whatever. It was Mr. because he is a transgendered person. And I believe that's the appropriate place to stand. What say you?
He's mentally ill.
You got that right. Yeah.
Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to tell the listeners, I keep my automobile radio on 91.7, and I've got where when I get in my truck in the evening and I hear your voice, it is just a joy. And most of the time, you talk a lot about the end times, and that really excites me. But Dr. Youngblood, you're like the little boy with the five loaves and the two fishes. They fed 5,000, what you do is you're feeding the masses with very little resource, very
absolutely.
Little.
And for the benefit of our listeners, that's when I come on in the evening on the radio, the same network of radio stations, and it's the expository preaching broadcast where I'm preaching pulpit messages. And it's our prayer that this goes out to thousands, perhaps, yea, hundreds of thousands of people that otherwise we'd never be able to speak to here. And, Tom, it's a good opportunity for me to say this. It is my prayer that more and more people will be blessed and fed, as you're speaking of, that they would be willing to pull out the checkbook and write a check and consider underwriting this broadcast. We do this. We're on the air someplace with these network of stations, morning, afternoon, and night, the wee hours of the night. I believe it's about 6 or 7 days a week. We're doing this to reach people with the gospel, and it's my prayer that others will hear and want to support what we're doing.
It is just wonderful. It's food for the hungry. And Dr. Youngblood, I highly encourage the listeners to tune in and listen, because you will be fed, and also to support this broadcast. If you think that this broadcast is good at noon, just tune in and listen to it, and you will be amazed. It will give you peace. It'll give you understanding. There's just so many blessings that just try it.
Amen. Brother Tom, I'm so thankful for your words and your compliments. I'm thankful for that. I am thankful that we can not only hear it on the network of stations, but also online on a global basis, that others will hear the truth of the gospel and will tune in, be blessed, be edified, encouraged, and challenged through the Word of God. So, Tom, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, is that me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I can't top Thomas's. Thomas is no longer a doubter, is he? What a great, great call. I love it. And the listening audience, it's 100% true. Amen, amen, amen. And I would tell you, looking at Romans we were talking about, you touched on Ephesians, and I would tell you that we do. We have big trouble, but as it says in James, about consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds.
Yes.
Because of testing your faith. Well, in Romans, again, in 5, face triumphs and trouble. And it says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And I would tell the listening audience that that man that spoke, Thomas, earlier, just before me, is 100% spot on. The devil does not want you listening to Dr. Youngblood. He wants to keep you away from godly men, and there are very few real godly men out there, because as it says in the beginning of Romans, in the very first part, I think it's in chapter 1, it says, although because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor they were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Some of the people in, as you talked about earlier at the beginning of the show, and I tried and tried and couldn't get through, some of the people in the ministry, I would say, sadly, I think the majority of the pastors are feeding us Christianity light. They're feeding us things that are going to put people in pews and, you know, nickels and noses kind of thing. And it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's eternity, forever, is what's in the balance. And so praise God for your strength and for your conviction. And you're consistently stepping up to the plate, Dr. Youngblood. I would urge anybody within the sound of my voice, don't worry about the Jaguars or whatever football team you love. Worry about your relationship with Christ. And worry about your friends and your family and your neighbors and your loved ones going to heaven. Look at Psalm 1 through, I think it's 6, correct? Look
yes.
up what the definition of a blessed man is. And there's nothing in a worldly way that you can compare it to and say, that's what I want to be. No one on the radio listening today can point to somebody that's a celebrity. Very, very few, 1 or 2% maybe, that are godly people not afraid to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The reason for my call, just quickly, is we're real involved in school board and city council just by going, and not to everyone, but a lot of them. And I would tell everybody in Duval County, please come to the school board meetings. Please, please, please. Your child's education, your grandchildren's educations are in the balance, and there are some extremely important issues that are coming up again on the agenda that we thought, based on Dr. Green, the superintendent who's now gone from Duval County, and we have a new one, Dr. Bernier, and a new school board. I would tell you, take heart. The majority of them seem to be conservative people, but they need to be gently reminded and prayed for. As a dear friend said to me recently, Jimmy, you're fired up, and you know, you'll get more with a carrot dangling in front of someone's nose than you will a kick in the keister. Kind of thing. And so I have to have brothers and sisters in Christ that say, take it down a notch, Jimmy. But I would tell you that they're getting ready to make another move to get, there's about 60-some books in the Duval County Public Libraries that the listening audience would, their skin would crawl if I told you the filth that they're trying to get in there in an insidious way, again, not only in the libraries, but in the guidance counselor's offices. And, as believers, we don't want our children, middle and junior high and high school students, reading some of this filth. And based on Florida statutes, I'm not smart enough, but the people that tell me there are things that they're doing that are breaking the law. And so unless we get our guns, our focus and our efforts, let's say, our laser-focused
yes.
efforts on determining what the actual path is and what God would have us do, and then writing great, concise letters explicitly saying how distasteful these are. And there are companies that are supposed to do this and committees that are formed to do this. And one of the recent committees overturned what we had accomplished in 2023 when they shut off my wife's mic and my neighbor was dragged out by, well, escorted out by three police officers and school board members for reading from books that are in our public library in Duval County or in school libraries. Now, nobody would think that would happen. And I myself wouldn't, but I was there and witnessed it. And Joey, my neighbor who got walked out to the parking lot by the police officers, was my ride. I, of course, had my bride there. Then she came late. But public police, this is the Lord will use you if you step up and say, use me, Lord. He will use you to glean this information and get it together and tune into Dr. Youngblood's radio station day and night. This man, I'm not there with you, Dr. Youngblood, but in spirit and in heart I am. And you are a man walking with the Lord. You are an epitome of Psalm 1, 1 through 6. And you should read that, the listening audience. He's a godly man, a righteous man. And
James, I'm humbled by the comments and your support. I'm thankful for that privilege of what God allows us to do on this broadcast each and every day. And going back to what you just said, with the morals and ethics and the values that we're charged with the responsibility of upholding as Christians, as conservatives and patriots in general, we need to stand. We need to recognize that our school board does not have the final say so. The education for our sons and daughters and grandkids in the hands of the parents, we need to be charged with that responsibility and carry it out. We need to make the challenge. We need to have the backbone to stand up, speak up, and stop being silent. We need to recognize that also in the state of Florida, where, as you said a moment ago, it is illegal for the school board to pass and allow what you're talking about with the LGBTQI+ agenda, with the Sodom Out agenda, to brainwash and sexualize our kids. It is egregious. It is wrong. We need to challenge the school board. Parents need to listen up, that we have that responsibility. And the bottom line is, James, if parents are tired of it and the school board doesn't want to listen, my word is snatch the child out of the public school system. Put them in homeschool. Put them in parochial school. Put them in Christian school. Put them in a school, a homeschool group, or charter schools or something, but get them out of that system where the parents cannot have a say-so on what they're taught and what they're exposed to. So I'm in agreement with that. It demands our attention. It demands our standing up, speaking up, being heard, being seen. So, James, thank you so much for your call. And keep praying, keep looking up. Thank you for all that you do in taking a stand for the morals and ethics and the values in our school system today. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about standing up, speaking up, resisting the enemy. Listen to some of the garbage that's taking place. I'm going to take a few moments on this. Utterly insane. State requires parents to declare a newborn babe's gender identity. A New Jersey hospital is raising eyebrows over a form it asked parents to newborns to complete that includes questions about the baby's gender, identity, and sexual orientation, a requirement under state law. And this form that they have to fill out, what sex was your baby assigned at birth? Do you identify your baby as transgender female, transgender male, gender queer, neither exclusive male nor female, additional gender, et cetera, et cetera? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a stench in the nostrils of God. There needs to be a stand across America that says enough is enough. We're going to stand for morals and ethics and values. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a